God, draw me near, near, nearer, blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side.
The Lord is our light and our salvation. May the light and peace of Jesus Christ be with you. Well, good morning, you beloved community. So glad to see you today. My name is Steve Sargent. I'm the minister here at Southwest Central Church of Christ, and so grateful for your presence today. Some of you have been traveling here and there, and so glad that you have made it here this morning. Those of you online, welcome. We're so grateful for your presence that way as well. If you are visiting, an especially warm welcome to you. Thanks for choosing to be with us today. Well, this morning we have readings, we have scriptures, we have songs, we will gather around the table, we will give. Come with your whole heart, with your whole spirit, your whole selves today, ready to receive what God has for us. Also, fill out some of these cards, please. If you have an encouragement that you want to send to somebody, someone has a birthday or an anniversary coming up, those yellow ones are great for that. Blue ones, letting us know that you're here, and those pink ones, of course, if you have some kind of celebration or request that you want to send on to our shepherding team, they will most certainly pray over that and contact you if needed. You can place all those in the offering plate a little bit later in our service. Well, as we begin today, our call to worship comes from Psalm 116. Would you stand, please, and then let's remain standing for the few songs that follow. Psalm 116, starting in verse 1. I love the Lord, for he heard my voice. He heard my cry for mercy. Because he turned his ear to me, I will call on him as long as I live. The cords of death entangled me. The anguish of the grave came over me. I was overcome by distress and sorrow. Then I called on the name of the Lord. Lord, save me. The Lord is gracious and righteous. Our God is full of compassion. The Lord protects the unwary. When I was brought low, he saved me. Return to your rest, my soul, for the Lord has been good to you.
Joyful, joyful, we adore thee, God of glory, Lord of love. Hearts unfold like flowers before thee, opening to the sun above. Melt the clouds of sin and sadness, drive the dark of doubt away. Giver of immortal gladness, fill us with the light of day. All thy works of joy surround the earth and heaven reflect thy rays. Stars and angels sing around thee, center of unbroken praise. Field and forest, vale and mountain, flowery meadow, flashing sea, chanting bird and flowing fountain, call us to rejoice in thee. Thou art giving and forgiving, ever blessing, ever blessed, wellspring of the joy of living, ocean and depth of happy rest. Thou our Father, Christ our brother, all who live in love are thine. Teach us how to love each other, lift us to the joy divine. Mortals, join the mighty chorus which the morning stars began. Father, love is reigning o'er us. Brother, love binds man to man. Ever singing, march we onward, victors in the midst of strife. Joyful music leads us onward in the triumph song of life. The joy of the Lord will be my strength. I will not falter, I will not faint. He is my shepherd, I am not afraid. The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord, the joy of the Lord, the joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord, the joy of the Lord, the joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord will be my strength. He will uphold me all of my days. I am surrounded by mercy and grace. The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord, the joy of the Lord, the joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord, the joy of the Lord, the joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord will be my strength. I will not waver, walking by faith. He will be strong to deliver me safe. The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord, the joy of the Lord, the joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord, the joy of the Lord, the joy of the Lord is my strength. All creatures of our God and King, lift up your voice and with us sing. Alleluia, alleluia. The burning sun with golden beam, the silver moon with softer gleam. Alleluia, praise him, all praise him. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. Thou rushing wind that art so strong, ye clouds that sail in heaven along, oh, praise him, alleluia. Thou rising morn in praise rejoice, ye lights of evening find a voice. All praise him, all praise him. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. And all ye men of tender heart, forgiving others, take your part. Oh, sing ye alleluia. Ye who long pain and sorrow bear, praise God and on him cast your care. Oh, praise him, oh, praise him. Alleluia. Alleluia, alleluia.
Please remain standing for our charge and call from 1 Peter chapter 4. Join me in the parts in yellow, please. Yours is on slide 1 and 4. I will read the rest. The end of all things is near. Therefore, be alert and of sober mind so that you may pray. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. If you speak, there we go, I was ahead. Nope, you have it right there, Carter, you're good. I was wrong on that one. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If you speak, you should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If you serve, you should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. Let's be seated, please.
Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my moments and my days, let them flow in a ceaseless praise. Take my hands and let them move at the impulse of thy love. Take my feet and let them be swift and beautiful for thee. Take my voice and let me sing always only for my King. Take my lips and let them be filled with messages from
Scripture reading is from 1 Peter chapter 1, starting in verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In all this, you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the fulfillment of your faith, the salvation of your souls.
All right, our Roots friends, you can head to that table if you would like at the back of the room. Miss Brandy is on her way. There goes Ellery as well. Brent, thanks for leading us in song today, and Glenn for reading our text. Would you sing this song with me, please? Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Let's pray together, please. O God, you are our God. Earnestly this morning we seek you. Would you pour forth through me now the gift of preaching? Would you give us eyes to see and ears to hear? For it's because of Christ we pray. Amen. Today is a good day to look back, to see how far we have come since January, to observe together the path that we've walked to get to April 23rd, 2023. You may recall that for four consecutive weeks, hospitality became our Sunday focus in hopes that it would become our daily focus as a people, as a church. No one is a stranger here. Hospitality is witness, we called it. We preached Matthew 25, Lord, when do we see you hungry and thirsty? When do we see you naked? And Leviticus 19, you were once strangers yourselves. Luke 14, but there is still room for more. And finally, Luke 24, stay with us. And Jesus opened their eyes. In that spirit, as many of you know by now, we announced that we invited a congregation that primarily speaks Spanish to use our fellowship hall for their gatherings and to partner with us in this neighborhood, and they agreed. And that is still the case today with the 1st of September as the official start date. From there, we stepped uneasily into Lent, that spiritual wilderness that no one particularly enjoys, where, without creature comforts to deploy and distract, a cleansing of the soul can take place. Out there, we can find out what or whom we are truly hungry for. Choosing to follow Jesus into that kind of wilderness has its drawbacks, of course, namely that we get up close reminders that sin is relentless and death is inevitable. The upshot is that we get to follow Jesus into that kind of wilderness. There's life out there, apparently, and he knows where to find it, like a stream in a desert for a weary traveler. We carried the Psalms as we went. They carried us is probably a better way to put it. They varied from the familiar, I lift my eyes up to the mountains, to the beloved, the Lord is my shepherd, to the questionable, I wait for the Lord, my soul waits. And where they dumped us was right at the foot of a rugged cross and the man hanging upon it. On Palm and Passion Sunday, we tried to make sense of the one we had entrusted ourselves to, there being publicly executed by the powers that be. Jesus was wrapped and plunged into a hole in the ground, and that was that, until it was not. For Easter did arrive quietly, we said. Earthquake and all, and angels and guards and women, they showed up, making it clear that we are faced with God's possibilities and not our own. Therefore, death in its many forms is overcome in the end because of God. Death has been swallowed up in resurrection, has made us alive with Christ. You, because of Jesus, are mobile stations of light, always carrying around the death of Jesus in your body so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in your body. There you have it. 3 months recap in 3 minutes flat. Pretty good if you ask me. The movement from just after Christmas through Easter has been a whirlwind. Quick-paced and purposeful, focusing and enlightening, direct and grace-filled. So what now? Where do we go next? According to the church calendar, we're supposed to be in the Easter season for 7 straight weeks. From 2 weeks ago until Pentecost in late May. For 7 weeks, we are supposed to celebrate that we are made alive in Christ, animated and free, whole and holy, hands raised high for what God has done, and we will do that. Let's also be honest with ourselves. It's hard to maintain that kind of Easter enthusiasm for several reasons, I think. The first is that we did Easter, did we not? I have pictures to prove it, dressed in my traditional Easter pink shirt, navy pants, brown shoes, brown belts. We had special music and visiting family members and the sweet-smelling lilies and the energy of that day. But all that is gone now. And in its place are more empty seats when just 14 days ago we had to unstack extra chairs and squeeze into rows. People just move on, having other matters to attend to. Maybe that's okay because, logistically speaking, you do not have enough Easter hats to not double up for 7 weeks. You also have no desire to prepare a huge Easter lunch for guests for nearly 2 straight months. And although our children would love it, I am certainly not stuffing and hiding eggs every single week. If one of you would like to do so, by all means, have at it. A second reason why it's hard to maintain Easter morning enthusiasm is that things happen in the world that are not very Eastery. As quickly as you may be able to count your many blessings to see what God has done, the sum total of non-blessings, of woeful reports, and of sheer evil that still holds sway, oftentimes that drowns out any and all good news, or at least obscures it. The worries and concerns of this world can quickly choke a blooming seed, wilting joy right out of it. So what now? Where do we go from here? I would like to turn our attention to a short letter near the end of our Christian scriptures, 1 Peter. Perhaps you have read it before, read it recently. This is the Thursday class, is it not? 1 Peter is a post-resurrection text written to an ancient people who need to hear a word about hospitality and wilderness journeys and Easter aliveness all at the same time. Given that we ourselves have followed a similar pattern, minus the ancient people's part yet, it seems appropriate to unfold the letter's pages to determine if someone else's mail might have a word for us. Let's get this part out on the table first. The writer of 1 Peter may or may not have been the Apostle Peter. It may have been someone else who knew Peter and wrote as Peter, or in honor of Peter just after Peter died. Such an exercise was not uncommon back then, but our goal this morning is not to unearth authorship. Hard to say. Our goal this morning is to consider the faith that we have been given, to hold on to the teachings of Jesus, to learn from him. I will, however, refer to Peter the Apostle often as the author, for ease's sake, yes, since the letter as we have it in English is named after him, but also because his very life relates intimately with what's written. Peter has his own experience with hospitality, wilderness, and resurrection. For today, though, we consider the reality of his day, the time around when this letter was written. There is, for a multitude of reasons, a constant threat to hope for those readers who have chosen to love Jesus. The threat has nothing to do with after Easter attendance numbers, and everything to do with wondering if the Jesus way is worth the trouble. This is who Peter is writing to. Not to a specific person or congregation or a city, but to small groups of Christians scattered all over a wide area of Asia Minor. It's rural out in Pontus. It's isolated out in Cappadocia. There's definitely not a church building on every street corner out in Bithynia. How the message of Jesus reached the residents of these small towns in backwoods countries remains a mystery. Maybe from converted Roman soldiers, maybe from transient Jews, who knows? We do know that the people who've been drawn to the message in those villages are not the rulers and government officials. It's not the influential or the wave makers. They're mostly persons with no power at all, people at the lower end of the social pyramid. And in this instance, the churches consist of slaves and women, mostly, owned or married to men who wanted nothing to do with their strange religion. There are a few older males, too, and a few younger ones, but thriving in numbers, these churches are not. This should not be too surprising, since the good news of the gospel has always attracted the marginalized, while at the same time distancing those who have the most to lose. These people felt, perhaps for the first time, fully alive. Jesus had called them beloved, had called them friends, had given them a place at the table they never thought possible. Peter hears that Christians have been gathering in these remote places and they are struggling. They are suffering. They are struggling because for many of them, they have had to painfully unstitch themselves from the fabric of their previous communities, the only communities they have ever known, after they found themselves grafted into a fresh sort of belonging. The former protection and security they enjoyed is gone. They've been removed from normal life as it once was. In its place, locals question their motives, families harass, masters beat, and husbands threaten. Suffering. The church's conviction in the God of Jesus, wavering as it is, feels more like a quarantine, as if they are carrying an infectious disease rather than experiencing the inbreaking of a new kind of kingdom. So Peter writes to a people he does not personally know. He writes not to cheer them up, not to get them to look at the bright side of things, but to call them onward. Energy and excitement can only take them so far. It is perseverance and faith, especially faith, that will spur them on. If anyone should know what that looks like, it's Peter, whose own life ran the gamut and the gauntlet of first century trust in Jesus. We'll talk more about Peter in the next few weeks, but it's enough for now to say that he himself underwent an Eastering, a death of who he was and a rising of who he is becoming. Because of what God has done and is continuing to do, Peter begins his letter to the quarantine church in the same way we began this sermon, with doxology, with a word of praise to God. Actually, it's a long run-on sentence of praise, long enough to annoy anyone concerned about grammar. Our entire text this morning, everything Glenn read, is just one sentence in the original language. But Peter does not care a lick about that. He gets on a roll, espousing deep truths of what he has come to know and believe. Praise God for mercy, he says, for he knows a thing or two now about mercy. Praise God for a living hope, for he knows a thing or two now about hope that is not limp or empty. Praise God for resurrection, for he knows a thing or two now about walking with the living Christ. It is that resurrection that offers the great inheritance, a gift that cannot be touched or spoiled or tossed aside by antagonists. It cannot be, because the inheritor is protected by God's great power. As inheritors, they are prompted forward by a fire-tested, long-suffering, genuine faith in the one who lived and died and lives again. The church, the people, they have grown to love Jesus, though they have never seen him. They've never heard his voice. They've never touched him. They've never eaten with him. But they love him anyway, which is why they are receiving the full effect of their faith, the salvation of their souls, both here and now and on the last day. It's a lot to take in for one sentence. Notice, however, how the sentence is framed. It begins with praise. Praise be to God. And it ends with praise. Praise, glory, and honor when Jesus the Christ is revealed. Praise gets the first word. Praise gets the last word. Praise the God who meets them in their lowest state, who lifts them up, who gives them a name and a purpose and a future, who says, you are loved, even when the culture around them says, maybe, but prove it. Praise God for mercy and hope, for the resurrection of Jesus, for the great reversal that says, behold, all things are being made new. I wonder how we hear such a message today. We sing our own songs of praise nearly every single week in our assemblies. We've done so this morning. I'll confess to you that there are times when I sing those wonderful hymns of adoration and want to cross my fingers at the same time, because the great reversal doesn't seem all that great at reversing much of anything. I'm betting I'm not alone in that. Peter gets it. He's been there. He harbors no illusions about this life one way or another. And still, Peter calls the people to praise, to worship, to love the Jesus they have never seen. What such praise does is transform the church into a choir of the resurrection. The church becomes a community who sings a different song than the drumbeat of death that is so often heard, with its disappointments and bereavements and gunshots. It's very true that death gets the biggest headlines in their world and in ours, but the choir of the resurrection trusts that something else and someone else is at work here. That life, not death, has the final say. For God is the God not of the dead, but of the living. This is our claim. This is our ongoing praise song. This is our hymn in our collective anthem. So we close with this today. The choir doesn't just sing praises about the God of the resurrection. The choir participates in resurrection. The choir practices resurrection, to borrow a phrase from our friend Eugene Peterson. Deliberately rehearses resurrection, lives the increasingly awakened life by pressing into the world around them, by looking for other stones that angels are rolling away. The best way to do that, of course, is by keeping company with the alive and present Jesus. That is exactly what Peter wants his audience to hear in the remainder of his letter. It's also the message we will hear over the next several weeks, the rest of this Easter season. Since the risen Christ sanctifies us, makes us holy, gives us full salvation even now, what does participating in the resurrection look like? It looks like loving one another deeply, which we'll talk about next week. Know that you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood. We'll talk about chapter 2, May 7th. Using Peter as an example, don't fear threats and don't be afraid, but repay evil with a blessing, for hope breathes on. We'll consider that on May 14th, chapter 3. And on May 21st, we'll finish 1 Peter this way in chapter 5. Humble yourselves. Hand your anxiety over to God because God cares for you greatly. Each week we will read aloud the same charge from 1 Peter 4, which we did so a little while ago. Through it all, we will give praise, glory, and honor when Jesus the Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the end results of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Would you sing with me again, please? Praise God from whom all.
We fall down, we lay our crowns at the feet of Jesus. The greatness of mercy and love at the feet of Jesus. And we cry, holy, holy, holy. And we cry, holy, holy, holy. And we cry, holy, holy, holy is the Lamb. And we cry, holy, holy, holy. And we cry, holy, holy, holy. And we cry, holy, holy, holy is the Lamb. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, early in the morning our song shall rise to thee. Holy, 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 merciful and mighty, God over all and blessed eternally. And we cry, holy, holy, holy. And we cry, holy, holy, holy. And we cry, holy, holy, holy is the Lamb. Let's be seated.
We practice resurrection every single week here as a church. When we gather together, we witness baptisms, we tend to the scriptures, we listen, we speak, we confess and forgive, we welcome the Spirit, we welcome the stranger, we have opportunities to love one another. We also practice resurrection when we eat and drink, remembering Jesus who said, "Of the bread and of the wine, this is my body and this is my blood." We have faith that God and Jesus is alive in us and in each other. He lives in and among us. And so we eat this bread, we drink from this cup with great joy and gratitude today. As we are accustomed to doing, if you are interested to help share the bread and the cup with the congregation at large, after I pray, please, by all means, come forward and help me serve to the rest of the church. Let's pray first and then come and join me up here. We do pray in gratitude and in joy, O God, for you are giving to us the fulfillment of our faith, the full salvation of who we are and of our souls. We are indeed grateful. In this bread, we see Jesus. And in this cup, we see Jesus as well. And we see him in each other. What a gift that you have left for us. And we anticipate sharing this meal with you again someday. For it's through Christ we pray and do all things. Amen. All right, King, we can grab that music. Thank you. All right, so we have been fed. Let's also give. We can feed others that way. You can choose to give in an offering plate. If you would like, you can also give online or bring it to the office, and we'll take care of it for you that way. If you happen to fill out any of those cards a little bit earlier, those can go directly into the plate, and we'll get those to the right locations. Chuck, you're going to help with offering today. Thank you. Let's pray together, please, and then these guys will walk around. Thank you, God, for the gift of being able to give as we do now. We pray that you would bless what is given, that as always, your kingdom would come, that your will would be done here on earth and in this place as it is in heaven. For it's because of Christ we pray. Amen. All right, a couple of family matters to share with you. And before I get to those of you who are visiting, we are so grateful again that you've chosen to be here today. Thank you for your presence. Those of you who are not guests and have been here for a long time, would you take a look around the auditorium? If someone is not here that you know you haven't seen for a while, or that should be here, or that are shut in for one reason or another, will you reach out to them this week? This week could be even today to say hello to them, that we love you, that you are part of this congregation, that you are not forgotten. So do that today, please. All right, up here on the screen. So 1 Peter, is this what you're doing? 1 and 2 Peter? Did you begin? 1 Peter, okay, then your class should be up here, not me doing this. That's great. So if you want a more in-depth look at what's going on in 1 Peter, then Thursday Bible class is where you need to be. That's both online and in person over there in the offices. And of course, we have Bible classes all over this building. You see next to 106, it's blank right now. They just finished up one series, and this time next week, they'll have a new series started, and we'll get all that information to you if you would like to be a part of that. All right, before I do the benediction, I hope that if you follow Southwest Central on Facebook, perhaps you have seen some before and after pictures of the parking lot that used to be the bane of my existence, but is no longer. That parking lot to my right is great. So take a look at that online, or you can just step outside. I'm so glad that is done for many reasons. But also because, as I said during my sermon, we are anticipating and making things ready for the congregation that will utilize our fellowship hall and partner with us in this neighborhood, and that was part of that happening. So I'm grateful that that is done. All right, as a final word today, as our sending out or benediction, would you stand, please? Would you receive this from 1 Peter, again, part of what Glenn read, part of what I preached today.